Yes, he wants to show me that I am not the only person up here, that there are many people on Earth who are being taken. All people who are there are marked, he tells me. All people who are marked will find each other when the time is right, and it will soon be right. Dr. A. Does he say?
Raina.
Yes, Dr. A. Does he say anything else?
Raina.
He tells me that I will soon remember, without hypnosis. He tells me that I will soon be ready to receive directly, because time will be very short. Because he also tells me that many changes will soon take place and we must be prepared to help people. I am happy to be able to take part in this.
81 Dr. A.
Are you still standing on the hill and looking down at the people?
Raina, yes.
Now he leads me back into the small room and tells me that I should memorize their map.
Dr. A.
Will you look at it again?
Raina, yes.
Dr. A. Will you memorize it?
Raina, yes.
I will look at it again intensively.
Dr. A.
What happened now? Are you out of the room again?
Raina, number Dr. A.
But, Raina, it was when I looked at the map intensively that I got that electric shock again.
Dr. A.
Is the map still in front of your eyes?
Raina, yes.
I see two large continents and three medium-sized and a few small islands.
Dr. A.
Is there any commentary on what you see?
Raina, he just tells me to memorize it.
Dr. A.
There is no explanation for it.
Raina, he already told me.
Dr. A.
He already gave you the explanation?
Raina, yes.
Dr. A.
We'll continue with the situation and see what develops.
Is the map still in front of your eyes?
Raina, number Dr. A.
Has anything changed?
Raina, I don't know, I feel quite comfortable now.
Dr. A.
Do you know where you are now?
Raina, number Dr. A.
Is he telling you anything?
Raina, number Dr. A.
Are you alone?
Raina, number 82 Dr. A.
You will continue to experience what is happening now.
Raina.
Something is pulling me now.
Dr. A.
Where?
Raina.
On my arm.
Dr. A.
On my right or left?
Raina.
On my right.
Dr. A.
What is it that is pulling me?
A touch.
Raina.
Yes, I feel something. I feel something.
Dr. A.
Where?
Raina.
Here.
Dr. A.
Where?
Here in this room.
Raina.
Yes.
Dr. A.
And which room is that?
Which room is that where you are?
Raina.
Stuttgart.
Dr. A.
And do you feel that right now?
Raina.
Yes, I feel something.
Dr. A.
In your hand?
Raina.
No, standing next to me.
I feel that something is standing here in the room and guiding my hand.
At this moment Raina's lifeless hand rises as if it was hanging by an invisible thread.
Dr. A.
And we are out of this memory and this scene?
Raina.
Yes.
Dr. A.
And do you still remember what scene that was?
Raina.
Yes.
Dr. A.
And what date was that?
Raina.
It was December 94. December 24th, 94.
Dr. A.
And you are out of this situation now at this moment?
Raina.
Yes.
Dr. A.
Do you have any idea what the presence of this being means?
83 Raina.
Yes,
he is here so that better communication can take place.
He is here for me to feel, but not visible.
Dr. A.
Should you be informed about something?
Raina.
Yes,
not me.
Dr. A.
Should those present be informed about something?
Raina.
Yes.
He tells me that it is good to be here. He also tells me that you are a very good psychiatrist, with an open heart, and he tells me also that you should continue like this and give lectures to your colleagues on this topic in the future. And everyone in this room has been chosen and has a task.
Dr. A.
Would he like to announce this through you?
Raina.
Although I don't have to say it, everyone here already knows it intuitively, but we humans need a push now and then to do what we feel inside. Even if it causes us problems with the public now and then, we shouldn't let it put us off and we should go our own way, we should stay strong.
That was what I was supposed to tell you. We'll stop here. This time the regressive hypnosis was completely different to the last three, much more intense. The images I saw were also much clearer and more distinct than ever before. Everyone present was visibly impressed, especially Peter, our friend. He had intended to undergo hypnosis, but now he had realized that he didn't need it. He had seen the map of the world and the botanical garden with his eyes closed, even the fountain. He was visibly irritated by this, and we knew that this was confirmation of the statements made during hypnosis. Peter now knew about himself. He, as well as the others, had realized that they were also involved in the matter, and so they didn't have to spend much time looking. When my hand was raised towards the end of the session, the being had touched my wrist. Everyone present suddenly felt an inner feeling of happiness. Peter described it as if I could hug the whole world. This was clearly what this being radiated, and it was transmitted to those present. Afterwards we sat together and talked about this last hypnosis for the time being. Dr. Alberts confirmed to me again that in the future I would be able to penetrate into my subconscious without his help. Something similar was described in a book by Professor Dr. Mack. In over 100 abduction cases, 23 people experienced the same thing as me. During the regression, they also went from a complete trance into an open channel in order to retrieve information. This doesn't happen very often, but he was of the opinion that it was the same with me. Well, I had to learn to deal with it first and tried to integrate it into my life. You can find pictures in the PDF book in German. The Earth of the future, as shown to Rainer by the commander, the map could also show the Earth after the pole shift, which would mean that you had to turn it upside down to find the remains of the former Earth. The botanical garden, seen from the fountain, with a view of the corridor, here with a view of the fountain, which gives a very earthly impression and seems to be decorated with animal heads. Chapter 5, Self-Knowledge. On November 23, 1996, an experiment, a trance, was carried out on Rainer. An attempt was made to induce this hypnotic state without Dr. Alberts. Rainer had put himself into a trance and was ready to receive information. Marcus asked, and Rainer gave the answer, "We'll get back to where it gets exciting." Marcus. "Where are you right now?" Rainer. "At home." Marcus. "How do you feel?" Rainer. "Good, safe, secure." Marcus. "Are we the only ones in the room? Are there others in the room?" Rainer. "Not yet." Marcus. "Another presence?" Rainer. "They are here, just not visible to us." Marcus. "Do you know how many?" Rainer. "Three are here." Marcus. "Do you know them all?" Rainer. "Oh, yes. They want to tell me something. They are here, about us." Marcus. "What should you tell us?" Rainer. "I'm supposed to tell you that Karen will soon know what she has to write." Loud laughter. Marcus. "You have to be careful in America. Be careful who you talk to. Dangers lurk along the way. Dangers in talking about this topic. America is dangerous. You have to be careful. People who don't understand that, people who know about it, don't want to." Marcus. "Why don't they want to?" 87 Rainer. "In America they know about these beings. They also know that if they intervene here, they will lose their power. The aliens want to help us." Marcus. "Help with what?" Rainer. "With spiritual development. Against our greed, because we humans are in the process of destroying what should be sacred to us. Only material things count." Marcus. "What responsibility do we have?" Rainer. "We all have an important task after the transformation. We have to help with the reconstruction afterwards." Marcus. "Will we get help?" Rainer. "Yes, everyone who has an open heart, who only listens to the inner voice." Marcus. "There are many inner voices. Which is the right one?" Rainer. "You will know, believe and feel, then you will know some." Marcus. "Was the light in the office a sign?" Rainer. "Yes, that was it. Her energy, her spirit is always with you." Marcus. "How can I call her?" Rainer. by leaning back, emptying yourself, going inside. You will feel it. We always need proof. We can't see the wind either. But when it whistles through the roof, we hear it. Marcus. What other tasks and messages do you have for us? Raina. You already have the task. You are not here without a reason. I am here to tell you that Karen is not from here. Look into her eyes and you will understand. She is not a being from Earth. She comes from Aldebaran. Marcus. How old is she? Raina. She is very old. Her soul is very, very old. She is very wise. You have to listen to her. She knows. She just doesn't want to accept it yet, but she knows. Marcus. Does she have a higher purpose here? Raina. She has been guided, just as Raina has the task of passing it on to the public. He is strong enough for that and he also has the necessary strength and knowledge to withstand and block all hostility. Now the time is coming for him and you, Marcus, will support him and bring your experience with you. You too will be given a higher purpose. It is still too early to tell you, including all his friends Peter, Frank and Norbert, they were brought here so that we can support each other on this difficult path. Karen, you know that because you will be exposed to attacks in the future, people who will be afraid of you because you are telling the truth. You must stay strong. We will protect you. Marcus. What can one person do? Raina. Wrong, you are never alone. A person who believes in themselves, in their strength, can achieve more than thousands of others put together. We are ready to give you a sign soon. Marcus. Do we recognize it? Raina. Just look inside and up. Raina. Question. Marcus. What energy do you use? Raina. We took you all when you were children, put in implants that help us to contact you via these implants. It works like an amplifier, we can make contact anywhere but only when you are ready. Marcus. Do we need certain skills? Raina. It is simply your magnetic field, we can detect it, we can crystallize it, you will learn to open up and grow. Marcus. How many people are there? Raina. Millions of people. There will soon be a second attempt to make contact with the governments. If it fails, we must act. It is not permitted to destroy the Earth and then colonize other planets. There is an agreement in the universe that all people and beings must abide by, the universal law. There are people on Earth who know this. Marcus. What are the worst violations? Raina. Hate and greed. That's why we almost always have to work covertly, in your dreams and in your subconscious. Marcus. Are you different? Raina. Bigger, but if you see us, you could hardly see any difference, we are very similar to you. Mark. Even in emotional matters? Raina. We don't have feelings like love and hate, our love is all-encompassing and universal. For us it is natural to help other races and all creatures. Marcus. Love is a strong feeling? Raina. Love and hate are the two dualities of each other. We have learned to be one, one with ourselves, all-encompassing love. After that, contact was interrupted and Mark brought Raina back from the deep trance. It was very interesting for everyone. Overall, everyone came to the conclusion that there was a lot of truth in it and everyone was deeply touched by this realization. It became clear that Raina would be able to go into trances even better and deeper in the future, and would thereby receive even better and more precise information about these beings. These beings, about which so little has been reported up to now. 90. Marcus, who supported this trance, also has to do with a so-called abduction syndrome. Karen and Raina also met him by chance and he had a strong desire to pass on his experiences, which are still very much associated with fear today, by writing them down and giving them to them. As we believe that his experiences represent further pieces of a large puzzle, we have decided to include them in this book. Here are many forms. See PDF on Bush. Chapter 6, Memories, by Marcus Stronsky. Not so long ago I got hold of the book Stargates by Dr. Johannes Fabag and began, at first less impressed, but then increasingly interested, to absorb the experiences of those affected and to let these experiences affect me. It is not that this is the first book on the subject of abductions that I have read. My interest in this reading was actually limited to the suspense, similar to reading a horror or crime novel. The only difference is that the stories presented here actually happened. It was always quite cozy to sit in the warm apartment in the evening with a glass of wine and a cigarette and read a UFO book, as I always called it. When I read Stargates, it was different. I can't even describe how. I saw pictures of craters on the moon, drawings of small gray creatures with big eyes, pictures that stimulate the imagination of everyone. All of these reports and the pictures were fascinating and gruesome to me at the same time, and with each of these books I asked myself what might be going on in the mind of a person who had experienced the events described firsthand. There were also always doubts about the authenticity of the reports, since all of our thinking only goes up to a certain horizon artificially constructed in our upbringing and not beyond. What cannot be must not be. That was the upbringing that probably shaped most people, which influenced our thinking and limited our perception. We create barriers for ourselves, or rather barriers are created within us by external influences that make it difficult for us to recognize and understand unusual things. So the doubts in ourselves and in our fellow human beings are quite understandable when they are confronted with the unusual. But there is also the fear that there might be some truth in all these stories. Because this realization would overturn our entire worldview. We tell our children that there are no monsters, that there is no black man, because we don't want to worry them and because we remember our own deepest fears from our own childhood. Let's be honest with ourselves. Didn't we also see creatures as children that frightened us, figures that kept us awake and that our parents dismissed as nonsense? If so, were they really just illusions? Just imaginary figures? How can a child imagine seeing something without having had a corresponding actual experience? The book reminded me of a figure that used to frighten me every night when it was time to go to bed. Whenever I was in bed, my parents were still in the living room. The bimbo, as I called him, a small, dark creature with no recognizable facial features, would come towards me and stand by my bed. How often did I annoy my parents because I couldn't get to sleep because there was bimbo in the room? As I got older, the bimbo lost his horrificness, he didn't come back, and eventually I forgot about him too. The bimbo was now just a fantasy figure for me that hadn't really existed. Clearly, because I was also told that the bimbo only existed in my imagination, and who would know this better than my parents? That's how we were raised. We raise our children to be sensible people who look at the world realistically and don't waste time daydreaming. In that respect, this is correct, but how big are the problems when an adult suddenly has to realize that something has been withheld from them, even if only unconsciously? This makes it much more difficult to process what has been experienced and to deal with it. Suddenly, all the teachings and worldviews that you have held on to collapse and you don't know what to do with them. Our trained mind reacts immediately and looks for natural explanations. You only imagined that and the world is all right again. But at a certain point, the subconscious kicks in, memories of blurry experiences come back and the fog begins to clear. That's what happened to me when I saw the two pictures of Raina and Karen Faisal's scars in Stargates. Since I have a similar scar on my right lower leg, the origin of which is completely unclear to me, I became a little more attentive and began to read the book again with an open mind. I felt that something was wrong with me too. But I could not put into words all the feelings that overcame me. There were images in my head, not very clear and incomprehensible. But they were there. At this point I had noticed that there were parallels to my own past in the accounts of the abductees, but I immediately rejected these thoughts. Perhaps out of reason, but more likely out of an inner fear that it could be true. I had already spoken to friends and acquaintances in the past about strange experiences and only received ridicule or the best of words, or a tired smile. This was understandable. Since I didn't really believe what I was saying, Although I couldn't shake the feeling that there was more between heaven and earth than our school wisdom could dream of. But why should it affect me? So I forgot what was sitting deep inside me and waited to come out. Until this moment, when a strong urge moved me to think about the inexplicable. I first spoke to my partner about various memories that were bothering me and which I will come back to in more detail later. I had expected her to understand me straight away, since she was usually a good listener and a kind and understanding person. But in this case she just answered me that I shouldn't get so worked up about such nonsense. It would only harm me. I understood what she meant by that. I work as a training manager for a branch of an American company and the employees trusted me. What would they think of me if I suddenly started fantasizing about UFOs? And my circle of friends? All well-off and respected business people, including lawyers, people with whom I had built up a special relationship of trust, both professionally and privately. Should I ruin that for myself because of a few vague and not even explainable memories? My girlfriend sat opposite me and I saw deep regret in her eyes. Perhaps it was the candlelight. Or had she lost faith in my sanity? I tried to explain to her that there really was something that was bothering me, but that it was just a bit too much for her. So I looked for answers and gathered all my courage, wrote to Dr. Johannes Fiberg and hoped for an answer. The letter to him reminded me more and more of events that I had repressed or forgotten over the years. If I'm honest, I have to say today that I didn't think I would get a reply. Especially since I had also expressed my disbelief in what I had experienced in my letter. Nevertheless, I asked for his opinion and advice. After about 2 weeks, I received a reply and his letter showed so much understanding that I would still like to thank him for it today. Attached to this letter, I found addresses of other people affected so that I could contact them and exchange ideas. But here, too, I found a barrier, because I refused to believe that I was one of those affected. The other thought that occurred to me was that this was an opportunity for me to speak to unbiased people, which could possibly help me find answers to my questions. I looked through the list of addresses and found the address of Rainer and Karen Feisel, who had rented a house just a few kilometers from where I lived. I found it difficult to pick up the phone when I wanted to call them and I considered putting the receiver down again, which I did. It was better to write them a letter to make initial contact. I described again what was bothering me, the images that had been running around in my head for weeks, and asked for a reply. Just 2 days later, Rainer left a message on my answering machine and asked me to call him back. I contacted Rainer and he told me about his first book, about his experiences, and invited me to visit him and his family in the next few days. Even on the phone, Rainer made a nice, friendly impression on me, which prompted me to accept the invitation. On the day of the meeting, I will never forget it. It was a starry night with a full moon when my partner and I drove to the Feistels in Immenstadt. It was bright and there was an incredible energy in the air. A nice evening for a chat about UFOs and the supernatural, I thought to myself during the drive and had to smile. The Feistels' house was in a small settlement on the edge of the forest and made a cozy impression from the outside. But here too, the thought occurred to me that this property was ideal for a UFO sighting and contact with alien intelligences. At least, that's how I had imagined the property of those affected when reading. Filled with these thoughts, I looked for a parking space in front of the house. Rainer was already standing in the garden to greet us and the greeting was completely different to what I had expected. "There is an incredible energy flowing today, can you feel it too?" Rainer Feisel greeted us with these words and it was strange that he greeted me with the words that I had thought just a few minutes before. That evening I was supposed to take my first step into the immeasurable dimensions that are full of secrets and riddles and are imperceptibly present in all of our reality. We want to recognize the meaning of life and not reject these wonderful events. But this experience only comes over time and I wish every reader understanding, insight and an open mind. Chapter, Sleepwalker by Marcus Stransky. One of my memories went back to my childhood, to the age of about 8 or 9. Like every evening, My father put me to bed, up in my room on the first floor. My parents' apartment was on the mezzanine floor and my children's room was set up one floor up in my grandmother's apartment. Both apartments were only connected by the staircase. I also remember that it was a night from Friday to Saturday. There is a special background to this memory, which is interestingly connected to the incident in such a way that the fact that enables me to remember it makes the experience seem particularly dubious. My father had a habit. Every Friday evening he would put the key in the lock of the parents' apartment from the inside so that I couldn't wake him and my mother up too early on Saturday morning. I could have rung the bell if necessary. I fell asleep quite quickly as usual. The bimbo hadn't been seen for a long time and I had forgotten about him. So there was no reason for me to worry. In the middle of the night I suddenly woke up from my otherwise quite deep sleep, which I still call my own today, and wanted to get up to go to the toilet. But somehow everything was different. It was pitch black in the room and I wanted to turn on my lamp, which was mounted on my bed. But I couldn't find the switch or the lamp. There was also supposed to be a wall behind me, but I couldn't find anything. I stood up and hit my leg on a hard object. Meanwhile, an indescribable fear overcame me. Disoriented, I wandered around the room looking for a light switch. I had a hunch, but wasn't sure, but the hard thing I had hit must have been the coffee table in my parents' apartment, in the living room. But that couldn't be. After a long search, I found a light switch and turned it on. When the light came on, I was actually in my parents' living room. In the hallway, as usual and described, the apartment key was in the lock from the inside. I went to my parents' bedroom to wake them. But my parents were fast asleep and even my shaking was unsuccessful. This was strange, because at least my father was a very light sleeper and woke up at the slightest noise. So I went into the kitchen and sat down at the table, still shaking. My second attempt to wake my mother was successful and she was frightened when she saw me standing next to her bed, because I couldn't possibly be there. Normally I had no chance of getting into my parents' apartment, as the key locked the door from the inside. My mother took me back upstairs to my bed and asked me how I had got into the living room. Believe me, if I had known the answer, I would have been happy to give it to her. This incident was discussed several times in the family circle and we looked for a reasonable explanation, unfortunately in vain. Because for me this incident was to have its consequences. From that day on I lay in bed every night, frightened, and I was certainly no wimp for my age, and could not get to sleep. By now I had made a real checklist to check everything before I went to sleep. Does my lamp by the bed work? Are the window and blinds closed? Is the door closed? Is my toy gun on the bedside table? I even had a whistle ready to sound the alarm in an emergency. This not only sounds crazy, it was crazy. I became so consumed by my fears that my parents were often so desperate that they didn't know what to do with me, and I think I can say that I was anything but a problem child. My young life was somehow thrown off track as I had already begun to fear the worst about this incident. Ghosts, burglars or worse were trying to take me away from my parents. At this time I had abnormal abduction dreams in which I was always held captive in a smooth room with pink porcelain walls. It wasn't a round room, it wasn't square, it was completely indescribable. Like the inside of a organs. Only with smooth and shiny porcelain walls. Ornate with struts and columns. I could never move, was helplessly trapped and couldn't escape. Mind you, these were dreams. It took some time before I calmed down again, when another similar experience struck me. This time I woke up in the night and found myself on the stairs to the attic. This time I could immediately see where I was because the street lamps were shining in through the window. Despite all the fears I had before, I now reacted completely abnormally, went back to my room, lay down in bed and fell asleep. I told my parents about my unusual night excursion, but my father just said that I was a sleepwalker. And once again the matter was settled. At least for my parents, but not for me. A few years passed in which nothing similar happened, and I was more than happy about that fact. In the meantime, I was already in high school and enjoyed physics classes. In these I learned that to cancel out gravity you need airplanes, rockets or strong magnets.